for the prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the light that shines in a world that is filled with intense darkness. And yet, even then, we cannot see unless you open our eyes. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give us eyes that are able to see, that we may follow you through this world of darkness and stumble not, but that we may finally be together with you in your kingdom of eternal glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. Very happy to be able to share things with you. The service today is coming from the center of God's country, La Crosse, Wisconsin. We're having a beautiful, beautiful summer day with nice, picturesque, white, fluffy clouds and beautiful sunshine. And we're gathered here to continue our study of John chapter 12. And I invite you to open your Bibles with us to that chapter. We're going to start at verse 29 today and consider what for some people was a real tragedy. Earlier in his ministry, the Lord Jesus had told a parable. There were 10 virgins, he said, and they all had burning lamps. They were all waiting for the bridegroom to come. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise took an extra supply of oil with them. The foolish did not. And in Scripture, almost without exception, and probably without exception, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. While the 10 virgins were waiting, the bridegroom deliberately delayed his coming. And then finally, at midnight, the cry went out, "The bridegroom is coming." And the wise virgins still had plenty of oil. Their lamps were burning brightly. They trimmed their lamps and they went out to meet him. But the 5 foolish were left in the dark. The oil was gone. Then they pressed the panic button. Came to the wise and said, "Hey, our oil's run out. Give us some of yours." They said, "No. You go to those who sell and you buy your own. We're going to meet the bridegroom." While the foolish ones were gone, the bridegroom came. And the 5 wise went with him into the house to the marriage. And then some of the most terrifying words of Scripture were spoken. And the door was shut. Was the door to heaven. And the 5 foolish came and found the door shut. So they started pounding on it. It would never be opened again. A door can do one of 2 things. It can allow someone to go through and give entrance. Or if it's closed, it can keep people out. The door to heaven had already been closed by Adam when he fell into sin. The door was opened by the promise of the Father that he would send his Son to die for the sins of the world. But the door is going to be closed one more time. And this is by the Son of God. And for the people that we're talking about in our text today, the door finally was closed. And they were on the wrong side of it. We have here the end of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. After what happened here, the light of the world went and hid himself. And then the rejecting people were involved in a game of hide and seek, which they could not hope to win. Then the end of the chapter is kind of a summary of the ministry of Jesus as it unfolded itself here on this earth. And from chapter 13 of John's Gospel on, we find Jesus communicating only with his disciples. Now we have an amazing thing that took place here in the text. We looked at verse 28 last time, where in the context of it, the Lord Jesus was talking about His death. And He was talking to the people there, and then very suddenly He broke. And there was a little short give and take between the Son and the Father. Jesus said, "Father, glorify Thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now this was an amazing thing. What follows is not so amazing at all. And in fact, as we've studied the Gospel of John, it's exactly what we would expect. "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him." They heard the voice, but they didn't understand it. Sound to me like a thunderclap. I think an angel might have said something. They had ears, but they could not hear. And this is not surprising, because time after time after time, we've seen in the Gospel of John that these people couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. And the Son of God spoke the words that His Father gave Him. He tells us that in John chapter 14, verses 10 and verse 24, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So, I mean, the die had already been cast. For 3 years, the Son of God had walked through the Holy Land preaching and teaching. And yes, there were a few that took hold by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Well, we just read the parable of the sower and the seed a few minutes ago. And it played itself out in the ministry of Jesus. Most of the people just did not get it. It went in one ear and out the other, and it picked up speed in between. And it was almost a total rejection. To put it another way, the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. These people had eyes, but they could not see. They had ears, but they could not hear. And by now, their hearts were hardened. And a terrible, terrible judgment was about to fall. You know, there's a truth here. Children of the devil simply cannot understand Holy Scripture. The book was written for God's people. Oh, they can get something out of it, like, well, it thundered. The book is kind of like Jesus Christ is. He's true man and He's true God. And everybody that saw Him knew the man part. You saw Him walking down the street, you could tell He was a human being. Get that part of it. But most of them missed the fact that He was also the eternal Son of God. It's the same thing with the Bible. Written by human people, using human words, and a heathen can read it and pick some facts out of it, even pass a test on religion, which doesn't get you anywhere, by the way. But it takes the Holy Spirit opening the eyes to be able to see the true meaning of Scripture, to plumb the depths of it, see the precious gems that are hidden there. Now, the Lord Jesus responded. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, verse 30 again. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And this is not the first time that the Father has spoken from heaven during the lifetime of his Son on this earth. We heard it at his baptism, didn't he? At the beginning of his public ministry. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and landed on him, and the Father spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. A second time we heard the voice from heaven on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus took three of his disciples up there, Peter, James, and John. And all of a sudden, very mysteriously, as he spoke with them, his body underwent metamorphosis. And he was changed into his glorified body. And again, the Father spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And now again, right before the crucifixion, we hear the Father testifying from heaven that this is his Son, and that his name is going to be glorified. When you study these three instances carefully, you find out that the first instance related to Jesus Christ as a prophet. He was about to begin his public ministry of preaching and teaching. The second time the Father spoke, it related to his mission as a priest. The subject there was his death and his going out, his exodus. And now the third time, he's just made his entrance as a king. So the Father testifies that his Son is the true prophet, the true priest, and the true king. They all come together in one. In the Old Testament, these lines were never fudged. If you were a prophet, you could not be a king. If you were a king, you could not be a prophet. And when it did happen, leprosy struck. But here they all come together in one. The voice of the Father from heaven. Now, what the disciples are going to see with human eyes is going to be a terrifying thing. They're going to see their beloved Savior, upon whom they've pinned all of their hopes, suffer the most shameful death that it was possible to suffer. They're going to see him betrayed by one of his own, judged by a Roman governor, and condemned even though the governor admitted he was innocent, and then crucified with two of the worst criminals that you found in the land. That's what the human eye saw. What the eye of faith saw was something quite different. Three things Jesus mentioned are going to be happening here in a few days. The judgment of the world is going to come. And now the Lord is going to save his people out of the world. The second thing is that the prince of the world is going to be cast out. And I'm not sure, but it seems to me there's a reference here probably to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, which reads this way. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And that's exactly what the devil did. He was standing at the throne of God day and night, never resting, always accusing us before the Father. Well, he can't do it anymore. Because the Son is going to take all of our sins, at this point he has done it, take all of our sins on himself and pay the price for it, so that when the devil accuses us, the Son can say, Father, the price has already been paid. And the Father says, not guilty. So the devil's not standing in front of the throne of God accusing us anymore. He's been cast out. And it all happened here. 2 Peter tells us something that must have really been interesting. I'd like to have sat in on this. I'm reading from chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which one time were disobedient, when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Very mysterious. I believe it's the only reference we have in Scripture to this. But back in the days of Noah, some of the evil spirits were cast down into prison. Jesus Christ went down and preached a sermon to them. Like to have heard it. King of kings and Lord of lords. Colossians 2:15 tells us this. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So this is happening now. The prince of the world is cast out. And the next thing is, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Most readings do not have the word men in it. The word men in our version is in italics. Children know what that means. What does it mean?
Not there.
Not there. It's not in the original. It was added by the translators to make it easier to understand. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Here we'd be better off leaving it out. If I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. Who are they all? God's elect. That's who they are. All that the Father has given me shall come unto me. And if I'm lifted up, and he was talking about his crucifixion here, you know, he was lifted up and suspended between heaven and earth. If I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all of God's elect unto me. We've all had a little indication of this already, haven't we? Remember the Greeks? There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same therefore came to Philip, which was the Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Right after that, Jesus says, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Except a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And so when he was raised up, all of God's elect from all over the world come to the foot of the cross. This is what he's talking about. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Back in John chapter 6, I believe it was, he had said, No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And the Father draws us. That's John chapter 6, verse 44. The Father draws us by the Holy Spirit working through the Word. That's how it all happens. Now, the people who were listening asked two questions. And a while back, I was several years now, I was talking with a friend of mine on the telephone, and a question came up that somebody had asked, and his response was, there's no hope for anyone who would ask that question. And it's exactly what you've got right here. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, there would be nothing wrong with these questions if they were being asked in a kindergarten class. But this isn't a kindergarten class. I mean, Christ has been preaching and teaching for 3 years. And now these people ask us a simple question like this, or two of, there's no hope for anybody who'd ask the question at this point of the game. Why should they have been mystified by the fact that, yes, they did hear correctly? We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. Well, that part of it's true enough. But hadn't they heard anything about his suffering? Hadn't they read anything about his death? Was this totally new to them? It shouldn't have been. Back in Isaiah 53, and I've got to believe that they read Isaiah. Isaiah 53, among other things, said, Isaiah 53, verses 8 and 9, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with his rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now, how much plainer can you get? Didn't they ever read that? Didn't it ever click? Or there were other places. What about Zechariah? Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now, haven't they ever read that? Or didn't they ever read Genesis 22? When God told Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee on. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took some wood, put it on the donkeys, and took his son. And they came to Mount Moriah the third day, same place where Jesus Christ is going to be crucified before the week is out. It's the same mount. And hadn't they ever read where Abraham took his son and made an altar and bound his son and put him on the altar and took a knife and raised it ready to slay his son? Hadn't they ever read that? And how God stopped him and said, no, not now. There's going to be another father someday that's going to sacrifice another son. Hadn't they ever read that? Who is this Son of Man? I don't know who he is. A few days ago, he had raised somebody from the dead. Been dead and buried for 4 days. He had given sight to the blind. Nobody's ever done that before or since. And you're wondering, who is the Son of Man? Who is this promised one that I've been looking for? After 3 years of preaching and teaching, they ask simple, stupid questions like this. It's over. There's no hope for anybody who would ask these questions at this stage of the game. One final warning. Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Well, they had better watch out. They had better watch out. The clock is ticking down now very, very quickly. And we think of Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turneth into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Well, the words once again fell on deaf ears. And then finally, the door for these people was closed. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now it's over. For these people, it is over. They can live 1,000 more years, you're not going to have a chance. They've taken one step too many. They rejected God's grace one time too many. Now they've passed the point of no return. No hope for them anymore. Now the Son of God is hiding. When the Son of God hides, not going to find him. Not going to find him. And so the fulfillment of Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would have none of my counsel, and despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The public ministry now of Jesus is over. It's all finished. Will not appear in their temple to preach and teach anymore. And their hearts have been hardened. Same thing is happening in our own day. You know, you can't play Russian roulette with the Lord God. You never know when the next rejection might be the last. Children of God, therefore, meditate upon His Word by day and by night. Pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit every day, that in His grace and love and mercy, He would draw us to the foot of the cross, keep us there, and give us eyes that are able to see and ears that are able to hear, and hearts that beat according to His will, and grant that for each one of us, the light may shine brighter and brighter under the perfect day, so that finally when the door closes for us, we're on the right side of it. Instead of being on the outside trying to look in. We'll close the prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the 3 years of preaching and teaching that You gave when You came here. As You were faithful in every single way as the true prophet, preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God, giving us the words of the Father, not omitting anything, not adding anything, but only His pure, holy Word. And we pray that in Your grace and love and Your mercy, You would fill all of our hearts by Your Holy Spirit and draw each one of Your own to the cross. Take us into Your eternal kingdom and finally close the door forever, giving us security with You as we live forever in Your kingdom of glory, completely safe from Satan and all his wicked ones. We pray this in Your name. Amen.